We sleep better when we sleep cool. As the weather is getting warmer, staying cool while we sleep will be top of mind. Organic and natural bedding sleeps cooler than cheaper synthetic alternatives, and they last longer too. A fresh season calls for a fresh start, and that includes your bed. From seriously soft organic cotton sheets to breathable silk and luxurious down duvets, Avocado Green's bedding makes it easy to reset your space sustainably. Perfect for hot sleepers in warmer months, Avocado Green sheets and duvet inserts are naturally breathable and help regulate temperature, so you sleep cool, dry, and comfortable all night long. Avocado bedding is thoughtfully designed and expertly crafted for lasting durability. From reinforced stitching to premium long staple organic fibers, every detail is made to stand the test of time, wash after wash, season after season. We sleep better when we sleep cool, so head to avocadomattress.com today to save 10% on all bedding and 50% on clearance bedding. Avocado, dream of better. Are you ready to lose weight? With Effecty, getting access to powerful GLP-1 weight loss medications has never been easier or more affordable. Effecty offers compounded semaglutide, the same active ingredients as the popular name brands, but for up to 80% less. These medications work by regulating appetite and blood sugar, helping you lose weight in a sustainable, science-backed way. Getting started is so simple. Just fill out a short medical questionnaire, then connect with a licensed provider through a quick chat-based telehealth consultation. If you're eligible, your prescription gets shipped straight to your door. No hassle, no waiting rooms. With transparent pricing, no hidden fees, and no membership required, Effecty is committed to making proven weight loss treatments accessible to everyone. Effecty gave me the opportunity to try their service out, and I have to say, it is just as easy as they say it is. I filled out the questionnaire, and within days, a package arrived at my door filled with everything I needed and detailed instructions. Their website also tells you everything you need to know, and you can always chat with your healthcare provider. It really is that simple and convenient. So if you're ready to level up your weight loss game, my listeners can now get $50 off of GLP-1 weight loss treatments at Effecty.com with code ATTWG at checkout. That's Effecty.com, EFFECTY.com, and use the code ATTWG to get $50 off your first month of GLP-1 weight loss treatment. No hassles, no memberships, and no hidden fees. So get started today. Remember when I talked about True Diagnostics True Age Test? Well, I took it myself and the results blew my mind. I was very wrong. If you remember, I was worried about my brain and not my cardiovascular health. And it turns out my brain's fine, but my cardiovascular health needs work. But luckily, my biological age was really right on track with my actual age, which is good because research shows that if your biological age is even just 5 years older than your actual age, your risk of developing diseases like cancer or heart disease can jump by as much as 30 to 50%. That's a big deal, and it's completely avoidable. The good news is nearly 90% of biological aging is in your hands. It's driven by things like your lifestyle, your habits, and the environment you're in, which means that you have a lot of control over it. The True Age test didn't just give me a number. It showed how quickly my heart, brain, liver, and immune system are aging, and it was eye-opening. And I will say, I definitely picked up the workouts after I learned that my cardiovascular health isn't as good as I thought it was. The test itself was super easy and convenient. I did it from home, and it was just a quick, painless finger prick that I made Ethan do because I was too scared. You send it off in a tiny sample in a prepaid package, and in about 2 to 3 weeks, you'll get a detailed online report about your aging and health. So if you care about protecting your health and want to find out what your real age is, head over to truediagnostic.com and use my code ATTWG to get 20% off your entire order or subscription. That's truediagnostic.com and use ATTWG at checkout to get 20% off. Your future self will thank you.
Darkcast Network. The light shines brightest on our indie podcasts.
On September 28th, 1996, six-year-old Jesus De La Cruz was playing with a friend when he was approached by a man with a dog who offered him a new bicycle. According to his friend, he went off with the man and was never seen again. This man, Robert Levesque, was immediately arrested, but not for anything having to do with Jesus' abduction. He was being held on unrelated charges as the investigation went on. And as it went on, police went down different avenues, including asking whether or not the person responsible for Jesus' disappearance was even closer to home. When a person goes missing, there's a special kind of pain in the not knowing. I want to tell the stories of those who never came home. I want to tell you the stories of Jesus de la Cruz. I'm Kona Gallagher.
And I'm Ethan Flick.
And this is And Then They Were Gone. Welcome back, everyone.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Ethan is so mad at me. He is leaving the house at 4 a.m. and I am making him record late.
Yep.
But we're doing it. All right. So I didn't mean for this to be a two-parter, but I just couldn't stop writing because so much happened. So just to give you a quick recap, again, part one is in your feed. So if you haven't listened to it, go listen to that first. But the short version is Jesus de la Cruz went missing on a Saturday evening. He was witnessed walking away with a man and a dog. The friend, who was 8 or 9 at the time, could not positively identify the man, but he did positively identify the dog. Robert Levesque was arrested. His lawyer said that he was being railroaded and, you know, was basically Richard Jewell in this situation. And Magdalena, Jesus' mother, was interviewed multiple times by police. And when we left off, she had just failed a polygraph test. And an unnamed source familiar with the investigation started floating this theory that Jesus' abduction was drug related. So that's kind of where we are now. Like, what are your thoughts on this?
I don't buy the theory that Magdalena did that. I mean, she bailed a neighbor out who had been arrested on drug charges the night before this.
Possession with intent to distribute, by the way, is what it was.
Okay. And then she failed a polygraph, which is like, who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, people fail polygraphs all the time. There's a reason why they're inadmissible in court.
Well, I know. But, you know, there are some cases that we've covered where somebody fails a polygraph and we are kind of like, see, they failed the polygraph.
Yeah. But it's just not enough. And
right.
If she bailed somebody out who had been arrested on drug charges, how does kidnapping her son factor into any of that? Like, I just fail to see the connection there. She bailed somebody out of jail. How does it go from that to the next step? Is that, assuming it's that person?
No.
Maybe?
I mean, that actually wasn't the theory.
Okay. Well, it doesn't.
Yeah.
There's a big gap there in this theory, you know?
I would agree. And so this theory does start to snowball as the days go on, but it's still kind of based on nothing. So we're going to get into it, you know, but it's interesting because like when this was first kind of put out there, the reporters, they interviewed Kevin Burke, who is the Essex County District Attorney. And he told the Globe, quote, in 20 years of observation, we've never had a drug abduction like this, end quote. So like the district attorney wasn't, like, he didn't understand where this was coming from either. He's like, that's not how this works.
Yeah, right. Again, it just, like, there's a huge hole there as to how it goes to kidnapping. I don't understand it. I don't understand the theory.
Yeah. And it is really interesting to me that the picture of Magdalena in the media very quickly became that of a poor mother who wasn't paying attention to her kids because she was on drugs. Like, despite the fact that she had no history with drugs that anyone can point to, other than the fact that she paid a $25 bail for her neighbor.
Wow.
Like, that is in everything that I read, like the beginning and the ending of her involvement with like drugs, basically. At the time, Magdalena had a job at J&J Communications, which was owned by her sister Alba. But before all of this happened, she was a volunteer for Head Start, which is like a preschool program. She taught English to adults and she spoke in front of domestic violence groups. Like, she's not this, you know, 90s era crackhead welfare queen that, you know, like,
yeah.
Cause like, this is like when Fox News was first starting mm-hmm. and they first were like, you know what, if we just like put all these like racist, like tropes and like scare white people, we're going to make a buttload of money. Like, that's kind of like what this was feeling like. And they were just trying to portray her as something that she was not. But these questions, which continued to gain steam, absolutely started affecting the investigation. So by this time, when this like first happens, when she fails the polygraph and this like unnamed source first puts the drug thing out there in public, that same article that announced that Magdalena had flunked the polygraph, police also said that they had no more formal searches planned. So this is just over a week after he went missing.
And they're like, guess we're not going to find him.
Apparently, yeah. And so, you know, there had already been tension. So what I will say is, again, the initial response from the police and the media did seem very strong, right? Like, he was on the front page of the Globe immediately. Like, the whole morning shift came out to look for him. You know, they were doing searches. They were draining ponds. Like, they found Robert Levesque, like, immediately, basically. Like, the beginning of this case seemed like they were doing everything that you would want them to do. And by they, I mean the police and the media,
right?
Which a lot of times, especially when it comes to people of color, we don't see.
Right.
However, as the days went on, the tensions did start to go up. So, like, throughout all of this, regardless of the searches the police were doing, Magdalena, like, they were doing their own searches. She wasn't just going to sit at home and just, like, wait for somebody to find her son. She was going out there as well. Her friends and family were going out there as well. So there were some issues where, like, they were going and looking in abandoned buildings and things like that. And then, like, city officials would say that they were trespassing. And, you know, so there's some issues there. She would want them to search places based on tips that she had gotten, but they didn't want to. So there had been a lot of that going on. But she had had a volunteer come up with like dogs to help search as well. So, I mean, she was like organizing her own thing throughout this whole thing. But yeah, it was only about a week after when she flunked that polygraph, coincidentally, police are like, yeah, no, we're not doing any more searches. In a Boston Globe article from October 13th, Magdalena addresses rumors that she had gotten her hair and nails done and had been going to nightclubs and bingo parlors in the 2 weeks since Jesus had been abducted.
You said she addressed them?
Yeah, because that's what people were saying. Like, that's how bad this started to get. Like, there were rumors that she was out getting her friggin' nails done and going to play bingo instead of looking for a son, because they just started painting this picture of her as this neglectful mother who just like did not care about her son
or her other
kids or whatever. Yeah, exactly. And the reporter Pamela Ferdinand, who was on the Jesus de la Cruz beat for the Globe, like, she wrote many of the articles that I read, she did mention that Magdalena's nails, when she was giving this interview and Magdalena was like denying, you know, all this stuff, Magdalena's nails were chipped
Like, they look like shit. And, like, there was a bottle of peroxide on the bathroom sink. So Magdalena had, like, short, dyed blonde hair. But, like, she was clearly doing that in her bathroom, like, in her bathroom sink. You know, mm-hmm. she wasn't going out to salons and, like, spending money on her hair or anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it was, like, it's one of those things that, like, there people are saying these things and, like, you look at it for 2 seconds and it's clearly not true, but it doesn't matter. Magdalena also denied that she was neglectful of her children, you know, addressing that complaint that Chief Rowe had, you know, put against her at the very beginning of all this, or that drugs had anything to do with what happened to Jesus. So that reporter for this article, Pamela Ferdinand, she spent the day with Magdalena at her home. And the picture that she painted was that of a distraught mother doing anything she could to find her son. She spent the day chain smoking Newports and organizing searches with volunteers. She contacted psychics, she printed flyers and handed them out with friends and family. And she did all of this while her other children were at school. You know, so then during this day, she still had to like frantically run around and do laundry and like clean up and, you know, do all of these other mundane activities that seem insane when your world is completely falling apart around you. And then when the school day was done, she went, she picked up her children, brought them home. And then as it got dark, she and her family and her friends went out and searched for Jesus once again. Magdalena already knew that the police were basically done helping find her son. A few days prior to this, she requested a meeting with police to, as her lawyer, Michael McDonald, put it, to discuss, quote, her concerns and her fears and some of the objections she had to the nature of the investigation, end quote. She told Ferdinand, quote, all I care about is my son. The only one who has been working to find him since the first day is me, end quote. Interestingly, the headline on the article about the meeting Magdalena requested was police question mother third time.
There we go. So wait, did they actually have that meeting or did the police just like say no?
No, they did have that meeting and it was like 3 hours long. And to be fair, like they did question her, you know, while she was there.
Yeah,
but
of course.
Right. But it's still like framed as way more of a suspicious event.
Right.
You know, than I feel like it should have been because, again, she was a mother who requested a meeting with the police to talk about her concerns about the investigation. And the headline just makes you think like, oh, hey, remember how she flunked that polygraph? Like, we're still questioning her because we think that she did something to her son. And that's not the case. But it does sound like they were still trying to work that drug angle because one of the things that they did question her about that day was people that her family had associated with in the past.
I mean, this is it's stupid. It's just it seems dumb. Like a stupid line of questioning.
Yeah.
I just again, I fail to see the connection. Like there's no evidence of her actually being a drug user.
No.
So like where do drugs come into this? And if it's drug related, it's not for drugs themselves that somebody would kidnap somebody. It's for money or retribution.
Yeah.
Where do you see any of that in this?
Well, you don't, but that does, like the theory does still evolve. So we'll get to that. But Magdalena's lawyer pointed out to reporters that police had yet, to your point, to produce any evidence at all that Jesus's kidnapping was drug related. He also addressed her polygraph failure, saying that it may have been linked to anxiety over questions of drug involvement. And again, Magdalena does deny being involved with drugs, but it's clear that she does know people who are. So, like, I think that would be a very easy subject to get nervous about and mess up on a polygraph.
Yeah. I mean, everybody knows somebody that is involved with drugs.
Right.
You know?
And so, you know, and we don't know what the questions are. We don't know how they were framed. And right. It's kind of like what we were talking about last week with your stepmother, where like a lot of answers aren't black
yes
and
no.
white.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so like sometimes if the answer is maybe, you get nervous. There's a hesitation. There's like, oh God, what do I say? Which one's the right answer? And you know,
and that triggers a sign of deception.
Exactly. Yeah. So it could very easily just be something like that, that, you know, again, like this is a woman whose children were taken away from her for a short period of time, but I'm sure that was incredibly traumatic and not something that she wanted to repeat.
Right.
And, you know, she's had one son who's abducted, but she still has four other kids at home. She doesn't want them taken away. And so she must have been terrified, thinking like, what if I say the wrong thing? Are they going to take my other children from me?
Right.
And yeah, that's how you fuck up a polygraph. But yeah, so I'm just going to say like, I'm just going to fuck it. I'm going to say it, whatever. This racist ass source close to the investigation also opened his big mouth again and said that they were looking into the possibility. You're going to like this. I'm quoting it directly. Quote, Jesus is being held on orders of New York-based Colombians who had him kidnapped as leverage to settle a drug debt, end quote.
What?
No idea. I mean, Magdalena, they used to live in New York. There are Colombians in New York. There are drugs. I don't know. That's all I've got.
What?
I have no idea. Like,
what the fuck?
I don't know. This guy sucks. But that right there, that statement, that stupid statement about Colombian drug lords is really the crux of this case. Because Occam's razor apparently does not exist in Lynn, Massachusetts in 1996. Like, why would it be the guy with a dog who hung around the neighborhood and had a creepy fucking past with children who someone saw lead Jesus away after promising him a ding-dang bicycle? Like, it's obviously going to be Colombian drug lords based out of New York.
Right. Yeah, because like, also Colombian drug lords really do stuff like this.
Right? Like, they really give a shit, like,
about somebody in Lynn, Massachusetts.
Yeah, they're going to take the six-year-olds. They're going to, like, stalk, like, this kid who's playing outside with 100 other kids and somehow know this is the right kid. Like, give, like, come on. I know, I mean, maybe somebody who listened to, like, our last episodes are like, okay, you're being hypocritical because all you talked about last week was how tunnel vision is bad. But, like...
Yeah, well, it's also bad to just make shit up in an investigation. Like, where are you getting this fucking evidence? Where, what, now you're just fucking saying Colombians in New York are doing shit?
Yeah.
Like, that's not real. Where are you getting, where is the evidence that, again, there's no evidence she's involved with drugs at all to begin with.
Right.
Now you're saying that she's somehow involved in some major kingpin drug operation that involves Colombians, and they're using her child to gain leverage over her as though she's somebody that needs to have leverage over. She's a fucking single mom in Lynn, Massachusetts.
Yeah. Right? Oh, and by the way, like some later article, I want to say came out like years later, addressed this theory and added the fact that it was apparently over a $3,000 drug debt.
So, let's talk about the amount of money it would take for these drug lords, these Colombian drug lords, mm-hmm. to actually perform an operation like this, right?
Well, listen, I don't know.
You're talking about the research behind it, like finding mm-hmm. out her kid, who, you know, which kid is hers, the surveillance to track down his schedule and figure out like when he's outside and away from mom and easy to abduct.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're also talking about fucking gas money. And now you're housing a kid, so they're probably feeding him, and they're probably not housing them in some random fucking drug lord's apartment in New York City. So we're adding bills up here.
Yeah.
Probably over $3,000 just to do this. Sure. Yeah. It's
It does seem like a lot of work.
Yeah, that's realistic.
This is something that Magdalena's lawyer obviously like keeps bringing up over and over again. The fact that like the police are saying all this shit, but like have literally no evidence to back it up at all. I don't know where any of this came from. And I think like, so in terms of like the Colombian drug dealer part of it, I think it was like something about like her boyfriend knew somebody who knew somebody, you know what I mean? Like it was something like that. Like it was a 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon to a Colombian drug lord type situation. I don't know.
Throw Steven Seagal in there somewhere, please.
Somewhere. But
also I literally think that was a plot in a Steven Seagal movie.
Oh yeah, I did not watch those. But yeah, so it's like, it's something like that. Don't know where the $3,000 number ever came from. Yeah, it's just a lot. Like these detectives / unnamed sources should honestly get a gold medal for like the mental gymnastics that they had to perform in order to come up with theories that weren't the obvious theory of the guy with the dog promising a 6-year-old a bike.
Right. So, I mean, at this point, aside from them spitting out theories about drug lords in New York City holding him hostage,
mm-hmm.
are they pursuing Levesque at all?
That's an interesting question. So by this point, we're talking mid-October. Jesus has been missing for like 2.5 weeks, thereabouts. Levesque is still sitting in jail. Luckily, they don't have to like worry about him taking off or anything like that.
Sure, but are they like questioning him further, offering him deals to get information?
Yeah, so I don't know. They have not publicly said anything. So like, this is basically what happens. They find him like day one of the investigation. They arrest him on these nonsense charges. Like, honestly, so the charges, I don't even know. I never even really found out like what this like initial weapons charge was that he got arrested for. But like what he was being held in jail for at this point was like the theft charges. So at some point he had apparently worked for like a limo company or something and had like borrowed, quote unquote, a car off of the lot without permission. And it might have been after he got fired. I'm not sure. But there's something with a car. And one of his 7 addresses in the previous 6 months was at a rooming house. It was like a weekly rent type situation. And the rent was like $80 a week. And he just didn't pay rent. And he was like $500 behind. And so he snuck out in the middle of the night instead of paying his rent and then like took a bunch of the furniture with him.
Okay.
So like he was being held for like stealing furniture from a rooming house and not, you know, and then owing, he also like, you know, $500 in rent or whatever. We're talking like the dumbest charges right. in the world.
Yeah.
So he's in jail because he can't afford this $10,000 cash bond. There are never any reports of him being questioned further or anything or being offered a deal or anything like that. You know, he had a lawyer. Every picture in the paper of him, like being led to arraignment or whatever, he has a jacket over his head. So I actually have no idea what this dude even looks like other than the fact that the kid described him as like, you know, long brown hair or whatever. But yeah, jacket over his head, speaks to his lawyer. Lawyer says he's Richard Jewell. Totally, you know, wrong guy being railroaded. And that's like it. And that really is it for the entire investigation.
That's it.
That, yeah, for all intents and purposes, the investigation into 6-year-old Jesus de la Cruz's abduction ended about 2.5 weeks after it happened.
Because Colombian drug lords have him in New York.
I guess, but, you know, New York's far and jurisdictions and whatnot. I don't know.
There's a little thing called evidence, too, so.
Well, yeah, there's that. So yeah, so this case got a lot of press. And again, like I said earlier, what seemed like very solid police work for the first week, but then it got relegated to just being about some Puerto Rican kid with like a druggy, neglectful mother. By the end of November, Robert Levesque pled guilty to a stolen motor vehicle charge and was released from jail without ever being charged in relation to Jesus's abduction. The DA's office told reporters after he was released that he was still a suspect, but nothing ever happened. And I read another article from like 2012 or something like that, like around like 15, 20 years after this or whatever. And whoever the current detective or police chief or whoever was like, oh yeah, no, he's not a suspect anymore.
just because?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, no like reason. They're just like, oh no, well, they didn't get him then. I guess it's cool.
Didn't get him then. All of the evidence points to him.
Yeah.
And he, again, handcuffs,
mm-hmm.
duct tape.
Mm-hmm.
Creepy dude that is known to hang around kids.
Yeah. Got rejected from two different Big Brother programs.
Right.
Was identified by multiple people.
But you're right. Both,
lived right around
both
the corner.
His dog and he were identified.
Yeah.
Or at the very least matched the description that.
And like, okay,
a
listen.
Gave.
If you search our house, we also have handcuffs and duct tape.
Okay. I'm also a police officer. So
that is my point. You're a police officer and we have a house and, you know, we need to fix things. We have duct tape. But he's a transient. He had 7 addresses in 6 months. You really start to pare down your belongings
although
when
I
you
can,
move that much.
Although I can see the duct tape.
Yeah, the duct tape, sure. If you do move a lot, actually would be very handy.
Sure.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, like, I feel like handcuffs, I mean, not that they take up a lot of room, but that just seems like one of those luxuries that maybe goes.
It's kind of an odd thing to own.
Yeah.
Like a pair of real handcuffs.
Yeah.
Not like
the fuzzy.
Yeah, not like fun handcuffs, you know?
Yeah, they didn't say they were like leopard print or anything like that. But yeah, it's very weird. But interestingly, the fact that he owned the handcuffs actually almost comes back later in this story, kind of in a way. So let's get to that. But it's so, this gets, honestly, the whole thing's kind of over, but I haven't even gotten to the weirdest parts of it. So later, several years, you know, after all of this happened, Magdalena gave an interview to the Springfield Sunday Republican in which she summed everything up, saying, quote, "It was easier to blame me than to do their job. Hello, this is a Spanish family. The attitude around here is that if you are Spanish, you sell drugs. It's a kid who disappeared. That's what is important. The police don't feel it. It's not their blood. It's only we who feel it," end quote. I mean, that really does basically sum up what happened with this case. Like, as soon as this drug angle got introduced, it just completely went off the rails. And Magdalena, Jesus, their entire family was just dismissed. WickedLocal.com interviewed Magdalena's lawyer, Michael McDonald, in 2007. So, you know, 10, 11 years later. And he was still pissed about how this whole thing went down, saying, quote, "There was an inherent prejudice in a police department that had seen a city population go from white, middle-class General Electric workers to minorities and immigrants," end quote. And like, sorry. I know that's kind of what I was alluding to when I was talking shit about Massachusetts earlier, but like, you know, it's true. And I just want to read this next section of the article, like straight through, because it's really good. So this is verbatim, and it was written by Barbara Termina. Quote, "But those are the types of comments that Roe has batted down over the years." Remember, Roe was the police captain during this time.
Right.
Quote, "To suggest that this case was handled differently than any other missing child case is so out of whack," he says. "A child was missing. All the actions clearly demonstrate we did everything humanly possible to find that boy."
Except focus your investigation on the obvious suspect.
Yeah. And this is still from the article. Quote, and while there's no doubt that Lynn police put their hearts into the search for Jesus, McDonald says that the investigation came up short in several ways. He points to the fact that he still has 20 pages of notes from his interview with the child who was with Jesus when they were approached by Levesque. How many pages of notes do you think the Lynn police have from that interview? He asks. 3/4 of a page, he'll tell you before you can offer a guess. End quote.
Yeah, so they like barely talked to Bernard?
Yeah, apparently. I mean, like I said, they brought him in to look at mugshots and stuff, but it sounds like they did talk to him, but that Michael McDonald took 20 pages of notes and they took 3/4 of a page of notes. So if you look at the actual case file, there's barely any information in it. Magdalena eventually moved out of Lynn to another part of the state. And that's how it's always framed in all of like the more recent articles.
Just another part of the state.
Another part of the state. Because I think she just wanted to be left alone, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame her.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to live in that location the way the investigation was handled.
Yeah, exactly. So she just moved out, moved on, and started working at a group home and became a counselor for troubled kids.
Drug lord. It's all a cover.
It's all a drug trafficking ring, yeah. Yeah,
it's all a cover. And clearly makes a lot of money doing that.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure she's like rolling in it. So what happened to Robert Levesque?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a different story. He, you know, he didn't get arrested for like murdering a child or anything like that. So there's no like, see, I told you, nothing like that. But the dude stayed weird.
Okay.
Just a few months ago, in December of 2021, Boston 25 reporter Bob Ward revisited Jesus's case like around the 25th anniversary of his abduction. He wanted to see where Robert Levesque was now, and he's out there. Levesque lives in Lowell, Massachusetts, which is where he grew up. And over the years, he has had several minor arrests, but like nothing very interesting, just like petty nonsense. Again, like he was being held in jail for during mm-hmm. this whole thing, just like petty, like weird shit. I don't know. But there are sprinkled in a few very odd arrests. In 2009, he was arrested for stealing a Lowell Fire Department car and leading police on a chase.
Okay.
He was eventually arrested. And so when they stopped, I mean, so like that's the thing. They're in a chase and they do like, you know, the pit maneuver or whatever you do to stop a chase. So they all go out. They like open this car door of this stolen fire department car. And Robert Levesque is inside dressed as a Lowell Fire Department official.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting. Well, because it's weird, but also because, again, one of the reasons that he was in jail after Jesus' disappearance was for auto theft. And he had also previously worked as an EMT. So, like, it almost seems like he was trying to, like, relive his glory days in a way or something.
Yeah.
I don't know what was going on there, but it was very weird. So that was 2009. And then, again, I think there were more arrests, but nothing that sticks out. But then in July of 2021, police were called to Heritage Park in Lowell after people complained about a man operating a white Ford Crown Vic Interceptor. So like the policiest police car you could possibly think of.
Yep.
Complete with lights and sirens. So this guy has this car, like parks it in the park, turns on the lights and sirens, and then just starts like walking around trying to police people. I don't even know. So like a bunch of people called the police and were like, some guy is here. I don't think he's actually a cop. This is weird. Like, can you guys come? So Lowell police came, state police came. And of course, it was our old pal, Robert Levesque, just walking around the bandstands like a fucking creep with his like weird police car. But when they get there, he's not wearing a police uniform or a fire official uniform. He's wearing a Fox 25 news jacket, as in the same Fox 25 that I'm citing right now.
Where is he getting all this shit?
I have no idea. So this Fox 25 reporter starts going back to this case, is like, I wonder where Robert Levesque is. And then he's like, oh, turns out he's impersonating a Fox 25 reporter.
But in a police car.
But also a police officer at the same time in a park. And he's like freaking out the townie. Like, I don't know.
Well, I mean, he's clearly a mental health consumer.
Yeah. So I don't know what is happening with this guy. But now it's over 25 years after Jesus's abduction. And there has been no movement on this investigation since 1996. Jesus is out there somewhere. Kids, people, anyone, you don't actually disappear off the face of the earth. As much as it may seem that way, everybody is somewhere. Jesus is somewhere. I personally, and I'm going out on a limb here, do not believe that he was kidnapped by Colombian drug lords.
In some weird drug debt collection.
Yeah.
Scheme.
I'm taking a real stand here. Hot take. Don't think that he was kidnapped by Colombian drug lords. I think that the simplest answer is, in fact, the correct one in this case. But at the end of the day, we don't know. But maybe somebody out there does. 25 years is a long time to keep a secret. 25 years is a long time to think that some offhand comment doesn't matter. The original detectives have retired and gone, but Lynn, Massachusetts, still wants to find answers for Jesus. Jesus de la Cruz has been missing from Lynn, Massachusetts since September 28, 1996. At the time of his disappearance, he was 4'6" tall and 60 pounds. He is a Puerto Rican male with brown hair and brown eyes. He has a scar above his left eye and birthmarks on his left calf and on his forehead. His left ear is pierced. He was last seen wearing a white t-shirt, jeans, and brown or yellow boots. Jesus was 6 years old when he went missing. He would be 32 today. Anyone with information on Jesus de la Cruz's disappearance is urged to call Lynn Police at 781-595-2000. You can also reach out to the Boston FBI at 1-800-634-4097. You can see all the sources for this episode along with photos and videos at our website, andthentheyweregone.com.
And be sure to follow us on social, And Then They Were Gone Pod, on Facebook and at ATTWG Pod on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. If you like what we're doing, please subscribe and consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It will help new listeners find us. And the more people that listen, the more chances we have of bringing someone home.
And we'll see you here next week for a brand new episode.
See you next week.
And Then They Were Gone is hosted by Conan Gallagher and Ethan Flick. Our research, writing, and editing is done by Conan Gallagher. Theme music is The Stork by Ketza. Additional music is provided by Kai Engel. And Then They Were Gone is a Little Monster production.
Hey, you can do it!
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. Prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Granger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12-powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.